Well, it's good to be here in the house of God again this morning. As I was thinking about this devotional, this meditation, one of the first things that came to my mind, it would be interesting to know, it would be interesting to know what comes to your mind as your favorite phrase in the scripture. A conversation I had some time ago, it's probably been 10 or 15 years ago, a man said, well, he thinks his favorite saying in all of the Bible is, "It is finished." I don't know what that saying does or what goes through your mind when you hear that, but when I got this assignment, that's one of the first things that I thought of. It is finished. And I guess you could legitimately ask, what was finished then? On last Friday, I was talking to one of my friends in prison. I like to discuss scripture with former pastor, and he said, "Well, what was finished was that everything to do with the flesh or the physical is now over with, and you know, this thing of fighting the flesh and the suffering and all of that." And then he said, "I don't know what all happened in the time that Jesus was in the tomb, but maybe what Jesus was saying, 'I have done my work now, Satan, watch out, I'm coming after you.' I don't know if that's what he was saying or not. I'm not going to go into that. But a scripture, a number, not so much commenting this morning. I'd like to go to Isaiah chapter 53. I'd like to suggest that Isaiah 53 is a pretty good description of what is finished. Then I'll be going to Hebrews for a number of scriptures, and then looking at what motivated, or why was Jesus willing to go through this, or what's the result of Jesus' death. Isaiah 53, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before his shears is dumb, so opened he not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and the rich, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was deceit any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 to 10, you know, something as I was reading and thinking about this, I kind of, you know, I've been thinking about this for about a week and a half, and I was driving truck and thinking about this. I thought I had the outline about where I wanted it, and the next day when I'd thinking about it again, well, no, that's not quite. There's so many scriptures. How do you choose? How do you get to the heart of that? And I supposing I'll be missing some scriptures or be skipping some scriptures that you would associate with the death of Christ. But we don't have time for all of them this morning. This is talking about Jesus here, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And then in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 18. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject unto bondage. I think I'll stop there. In the sacrifice of Jesus, we have, in these scriptures that I read, we have the predictions are now fulfilled. It's come to, they are fulfilled in Jesus. They pointed to Christ and he fulfilled them. The obedience and humiliation of the Son are now complete. The end of Christ's suffering, or the term of Christ's suffering and sorrow, are now at an end. The sacrifice of the Lamb is complete. And in the words of Hebrews, where I just read here, we have the defeat of Satan in the sacrifice of Jesus. The song that we used to, one of the songs we used to sing in, when I was in chorus, that's probably been, well, I won't go back that, I won't say how long ago it's been, but Come Ye Sinners is the name of the song, and one verse goes, agonizing in the garden, lo, your master prostrate lies on the bloody, on the bloody tree, behold him, hear him cry before he dies. It is finished. Sinner, will not this suffice? It is enough. It is finished. Colossians 2, there's another scripture I'd like to read. Colossians chapter 1. The barrier between man and God is taken away. In the Gospels record that when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was torn in two. I have access unto Jesus Christ. I have access to God through the shed blood of Jesus. Giving thanks, this is Colossians 1, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in heaven and in earth or things in heaven, and you who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. We have peace made, that the payment for our redemption is complete in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was before him endured the cross, despising the shame. What was the joy that Jesus looked forward to, or what enabled him to go through this for us? In the Isaiah passage that I read, it said, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. What was God satisfied with? What motivated Jesus to do that? In John 17, verse 4 and 5, Jesus, in what is known as the high priestly prayer, says this, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which was with thee, which I had with thee before the world was. There was something Jesus was looking forward to, and that was the glory, as he says here in this, that he had with the Father before the world began. And I'd like to suggest that maybe some of the... I'm going to read another verse in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Verse 9 through 11. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. I don't know what all it means when the scripture says that, when it's talking about the glory of that Jesus has now, but I think him sitting at the right hand of God, and I think when we as his people come to him and we acknowledge him as our Lord, there is a glory that is had in that. I'm not sure I can explain that. I'm grateful for that, and I thank God that he includes me in his salvation, and I can be partakers of that same glory. In conclusion, it's important, I believe, that we talk about the death of Jesus. I'd like to read a couple of verses in Romans chapter 6. Jesus wants us to identify with him in his death. You see, if we want to find life in him, we have to die too. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 to 13. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And so as we identify with Jesus in his death, we experience his life as well. And so I think the call of God, in as we think about the death of his son, is that we take up our cross and follow him and experience his life. Shall we kneel in prayer? Father in heaven, thank you so much for the finished work of Jesus. Help us to understand the significance of that, and help us to bring ourselves as an offering to you. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your greatness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you, Titus. That was very rich. David L. once asked the question, when the Lord looked into that cup, he wonders what all he saw. And it made me think along some of the lines you were talking about. And one of the things that Titus asked is, how did Jesus confront the powers of darkness at that time? Was that part of it? I believe it was. I was just blessed with all the scriptures that you brought to us that just really fleshed it out, and so thank you. Time is here for a children's lesson. Chris, in conversation with him by texting, he wondered, will this be in front of the church or in front of just the children? I said, it'll be in front of the whole church. And for your sake, for your information, Chris, the adults here at Center look as forward to children's class as the children do. So your audience is much bigger than it might seem. And I would like to invite any parent who has a child that youth would like to just bring forward and sit with to come join the little ones and the big ones. Chris. Do we have a mic, Danny? Oh, you've got it. Very good. May the children, children and parents, whoever wants to come forward.
All right. Welcome. I didn't tell David this. Don't tell the adults, but we're just going to tell stories this morning. So, but I want you to keep something in mind while I'm telling stories, and that is, ask yourself the question, why are you nice to people? Okay, keep that in mind. When I was 5 years old, now, let me give you a little background first. We had a big lake in our front lawn. It was about 100 feet from our house. So I could go fishing any time that I wanted to. And I did. I went fishing every day. By the time I was 5, I could catch a fish, clean the fish, fry the fish, and eat the fish all by myself. So, I liked fishing. We lived in Missouri, and we had this neighbor who was a redneck. You should maybe not call people that all the time, but he was proud of it. He had a very large beard, and he had no teeth. But he could fish, and he could tell stories, and he was a valuable influence on my life. But most importantly, he would pay me 25 cents a fish. And it didn't take me very long to catch 4 fish, and then he'd have to give me a dollar. I really liked this guy. Okay. Now remember my question. Why are we nice to people? Besides giving me money, he also told me stories. He told me stories about turkey hunting and deer hunting and fishing and just very many different stories that were very influential to me. Okay. We had other neighbors that we would go visit, and we were really nice when we were there. Why? Because on top of their bookshelf, they had a giant box of candy. It was an entire box. It wasn't a little tray of candy. It was a box of candy. And if you were really nice while you were there, they would get the box down, and you could get a little handful of candy. Okay, so far, we don't have any problems being nice to these characters that I've described, right? You'd probably be nice, too, to these guys. Okay, well, unfortunately, not everybody gives you money and candy. It's a sad fact of life. I'd like to tell you a story about my hero, Dirk Willems. Do you guys know who that is? He's one of my heroes. Now, first we need to understand something about the time that Dirk Willems was alive. Why do you go to jail? Why could somebody go to jail now? Any ideas? Maybe they steal something, or any other ideas? Why do people go to jail? Well, it's important to remember when I tell you this story that in Dirk's time, people went to jail for loving Jesus. That's a very foreign concept to us. And thankfully so. Thank God that that's a foreign concept. But when Dirk became imprisoned because he loved Jesus, and he sat in prison, and he didn't have very much food, and it was cold, and he was trying to figure out ways to escape. And so he did. He gathered rags, and he made a rope out of them, and he noticed that the window was open. So he just sort of started lowering his rag rope out the window, and he was so skinny by now because he hadn't eaten anything that he was able to slip out the window. And he started creeping out of the castle, out of the prison, and he started running. But somebody was running after him, and it was a guard who wanted to catch him. And it was winter, and it was cold, and there was ice on a pond, and Dirk ran across it with no problems, because he hadn't eaten very much, and he was skinny. But the guard, I like to imagine him eating donuts as he's guarding the prison. He's a little bit more than Dirk. And Dirk makes it across safely, but he hears something. He hears the ice cracking behind him. What does Dirk do? He turns around, and he goes back, and he helps the guy out. Well, this guy who caught him, who he helped out, wanted to let him go, but he had to capture Dirk, and in the end, they put Dirk to death. Are you nice to people who want to put you to death? Now, hopefully, you don't know anybody like that wants to put you to death. But I bet you know somebody who is annoying, who steals all your toys. You guys know anybody like that? Yeah, maybe? I'm a little older than you, but I still get annoyed at people, and I'm still trying to figure out how to be nice to people that annoy me. And it's tough. So, why was Dirk nice to the guy who fell through the ice? And I like to contemplate about that moment that Dirk realized that the guy chasing him had fallen through the ice. And I like to think, would have I turned around, or would have I kept running? Am I nice enough to save somebody who will kill me? And I don't know. I hope so. But I know that the only way that Dirk could do that was because he loved Jesus. And Jesus loved us so much, even though we didn't deserve it, that he was willing to die for us as well. And so, if you know people who are hard to get along with, who it's hard to be nice to, try anyways. You won't figure it out perfectly. But you can try. Okay, let's pray. Father, help us to be nice to those that are hard to get along with. Help us to feel your love so that we can pass it on to others. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed. Thank you for listening.
Well, yes, a very good lesson indeed. Just reminds me of a time that I used to have a neighbor that had cookies that she'd always give to nice boys. But I made the mistake of asking for one time, and she said she doesn't have cookies for neighbors who ask for them, or for children who ask. I have Willard come and lead us in a number of songs yet in closing here.